FreedomSlips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes your orient. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. You've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves into the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Polite Gunfight.
Yes, welcome to Polite Gunfight on Revolution Radio.
And we definitely appreciate your donations at revolution.radio/donations.html or www.patreon.com/revolutionradio. And yes, this is Play Gunfight. My name's Aaron, and it's my co-host.
Ed.
Brother-in-arms, Ed. Ed the man.
Ed the man and Aaron the real thing.
The real thing, a.k.a. Chief.
Exactly. I've been all right. It's been busy. Been really busy.
Oh, hasn't it been busy? It's been a busy time. Did I tell you I had a bathroom issues again?
Nuh-uh, you haven't
worn bathroom. A leaky sink that had a ton of stuff under it, so we didn't really realize it was leaking. It was the one that was stored, shame to admit, but a ton of bags underneath it. And there's mold on it, so we'd have the whole cabinet ripped out, and we are now working to find a contractor to replace the cabinet.
Wow.
And the leaky sink.
Isn't home ownership fun?
It's a blast. Just a blast. Boy, can I not emphasize the fun that it is.
I mean, it's like fun that never ends.
Never. Yeah. It just never ends.
It's like if you have a leak somewhere, you know, there's a good chance it's going to leak somewhere else. It's going to run somewhere else. Yeah, we had a dishwasher leaking and it leaked into our basement. And that was just a load of fun. So now we need a new dishwasher. And those things aren't cheap.
No, especially in the hyperinflation era that we're in right now.
Right, right.
That is if you can find a dishwasher.
Well, we were lucky to find one at Best Buy, and it's coming in on Friday, and then I will install said dishwasher when it comes in.
Best Buy, which they should, their tagline should be very infrequently your Best Buy.
It, right. It happened to be this time. Nice. But yes, it's not often your Best Buy, is it? No.
No, it really is not often your Best Buy. But that's fine.
I did get a laptop for the best price at Best Buy. So I was, happy with that. But I think it was a Black Friday
item. I got a Surface 8, Surface Pro 8 recently, and because they had a pretty nice discount there. And I'd wanted one actually for a while. Just for like when I'm zipping around and I can, you know, do stuff for work because I can use the little remote desktop. So it's nice. It's a tablet-like thing. The battery life isn't what I'd like it to be, but otherwise it's fine. It's got Windows on it. Cool. So it's neat.
I need to get my iPad. I like my iPad. I need to get mine replaced.
Yeah, so when I was thinking, like, if I ever do want to do, like, an actual pad type thing, I would get the Air. Like, I think the Pro is probably overkill.
Yeah.
For something that doesn't, like, that's why I couldn't get a Pro. I thought about it, but I can't get something like a super heavy duty phone. Mm-hmm. The M1 is super overpowered for what a phone does.
Yeah.
Overpowered. I mean, if the CPU exceeds 50% for the average user, I'm stunned.
Yeah. Well, I have the Apple 13, the biggest one they have.
13-inch, was it last year's?
Well, it's the Apple 13. I mean, I think that's the newest phone they have right now. Or did they come out with the 14 already, and I missed it?
Well, was it with the M1 chip, the Apple Silicon?
I don't know. I got it just recently, like last couple months.
It may have been. It may be.
How do I know? How do I know what chip it has in it?
I don't know. Was it on a big discount? Because there are some older models at a big discount.
Well, I don't know. Well, let's just say this. I got, because I've been with Verizon for so long, they gave me a good price. So maybe.
Yeah, Verizon will do that. It might be. You could check. Again, I don't know that the average user is going to know.
Yeah.
Especially for that type of product, because it's just like apps.
Yeah.
Like you don't need the highest end, like slickest multi-thread or single-threaded processor to do like streaming videos.
No, you don't.
Like you really don't. Now with the graphics, maybe they're leaning on the M1 to do some of the graphic processing, and I don't know. So maybe that's where I would exceed the CPU usage.
So, you're right. I don't know. I can't tell. I can't tell I don't know. I'm sure if I look at the model number, it'll tell me what chip it's in it.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But
I mean, the thing is, like, you got a good product. You're probably better off buying like the previous gen.
Yeah.
To be frank, and getting it for a much better deal.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was like, it was actually like $150 for the phone.
Oh wow, yeah, that's sweet. Yeah, I don't think you got the latest and greatest of that. but again, so what? Right now, my kids have the Amazon Fire things, and they're fine.
Yeah.
For watching YouTube, like you really, I don't know that they miss much of the functionality that you would get from an M1.
Right. Well, so it's interesting, talk about technology. So we have this, we have an intern at our place of employment.
Yes.
And, she was asking me about, we were talking about, there was a DSL, modem that we
digital subscriber line for those who might not know.
Yes, and we had one on our desk, and I was saying that we use that for testing. And she's like, "What's DSL?" So we
just
went
into line.
Yeah, it's otherwise, you know, also known as last mile, you know,
yes,
connectivity, right? Because it can't go too far. It couldn't support. It couldn't go miles and miles. It had to be close to the CO, right?
Yes.
And she's like, "Well, what's the CO?" And I'm like, "Hold on a second."
Oh, so I was like, wow.
"I'm like, do you have like a landline phone in your house?" She's like, and then she gave me the, you know, when the puppy dog, you know, you're doing something he doesn't understand, the cocks its head. Like, okay, I'm gonna take that as a no.
Do you have a rotary phone that you can drop in front of? I've been waiting to do that. I want to get a rotary phone because I want to do that on my kids, but much more importantly, I want to do that on like a 20-something.
Yeah. Do you know what this is? Yes.
Tell me how you think it works. Why would that dial work? Like, even if they get the dial, why does that work? What's it doing inside?
Are you asking?
No, I'm not asking.
Okay.
I'd answer that on a test once. the kids don't know this type of stuff.
No. So we were talking about, you know, I was saying, like, you know, how do you get your internet at home? Well, for the cable modem. I said, well, before there was cable, most people only had dial up. She's like, what? Yeah, the modem was connected to the telephone service for analog signal.
Yes.
And I said, and the lines at best could handle about 40K. She's like, what's that? Like 40 kilobytes per second? And she's like, what? Are you kidding me? No. No, I'm not.
You didn't get over what baud rate was?
I did. Actually,
you
I did.
Good job.
I did.
Well served.
And I talked well about served. I talked about baud rate.
And Fantastic.
I said, the Sportster, the U.S. Sportster modem was like the best thought out modem because it.
Yes.
Because you could do 36.6.
So here's one. So you'll know Erlang was named after Erlang. Baud, where did baud come from?
I don't know. Where did baud come from?
Emile Baudot, for Baudot code for telegraphy.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's named after somebody. Same as Erlang.
That's cool.
Which was the blocking that they established. You use it in telephony a lot. But you can use it for anything that you have a limited number of servers and a number of people that need to be served, whatever that may be. So you can still use Erlang on lots of different things. But yeah, baud rate is the, it's a for like code passing and named after Emile Baudot.
I did not know that. Here's one thing. I knew it was 40K per second. Now, and I told her, you know, I was saying, it was describing how, the, you know, there's two wires, right? There's a send and receive. It's full duplex, meaning that somebody can be talking and the other person listening, and the other person can talk over top of them.
Because, at the same time, without interruption, yes.
At the same time, without interruption, duplex. Now, is it 40K both directions?
I thought.
Yeah, so question came to my mind. I mean, that must have been terrible degradation because, like, I remember that, like, the Sportster modems got so good that they would actually use both wires. They would actually, if it was talking to another Sportster or something that could talk that same language protocol, whatever it was, that you could actually utilize both wires. And
as send receive, you're gonna collide.
Well, no. It was when it was heavy download, it could.
Oh, yeah. You're right. It could enter into a specific coding sequence. You would say, okay, I'm ready to receive now, and the other side would say, okay, I'm ready to send. And at that point, you'd be on full receive, and the other side would be on full send.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And then. But then I was like, wait, but then why couldn't you get like 80K? And then I was like, man, that must have been there must have been such a degradation of the, you know, the analog signals and and lost, that, you know, the best you could really ever do was 36.6. I mean, that's...
Right. Yeah, that's top speeds.
And, you know, you'd be lucky if you could get that anyway.
You know? Right. Well, because to your point, it just wasn't digital.
Right.
It was mask. It was, so for people might be wondering what the heck we're talking about. Digital is when you reduce a very complex signal to zeros and ones, digits. And they do that by sampling whatever it is. It's an audio wave or just what, or even a picture. So you reduce the gray areas, the fuzzy areas of, like, say, a photograph when you develop it on the film. You reduce it down to very distinct pixels, or an audio soundtrack. You reduce it down to specific tones and whatnot into very small periods of time. And that is much cleaner to transmit because the signal is just the zero or the one versus a very complex signal of, like, an audio wave. And that's how it's easier to transmit. You can transmit it longer at lower power. That's the advantage the digital has. But you always lose fidelity. Because, like, if you ever listen to a vinyl record, it'll capture so much rich sound that it's very hard to fully reproduce that in digital. And that's why you get these ever increasingly higher codecs for storing music digitally. And very frequently, if you look around, you'll notice that Spotify and these other sampling services are actually overly compressing music. And you're mm-hmm. losing fidelity. So you're not even really getting CD quality anymore when you're listening to Spotify and stuff like that.
Not to mention
that they make up for it with just making it louder.
Right. And not to mention that CD quality isn't actually the best quality either.
It isn't. But I'm saying it's not even as good as that. And yeah, right, CD quality was initially, they tried to make it an equivalent to vinyl. It was never equivalent to vinyl. I think the Blu-ray, if you did the full, like, a full Beethoven symphony on a standard Blu-ray disc, you could get close to what vinyl is, but not still there.
Right, right. Man, and it's...
Go ahead.
It's hard to have the discussion with people that aren't audiophiles, you know?
So that's the thing. I know this intellectually.
Yeah.
And I can pick up some of the stuff, but I'm not a true audio. I do notice that, like, Spotify and YouTube will get away with just playing music louder rather than having the full richness of the recording. But I know there's people that, like, if they're not listening on good headphones, they just can't listen to music. It's ruined for them. And I'm just not that guy. I can get away with earbuds still. I'm still a swill drinker. But I know enough about it to know that there's stuff being lost.
Oh, yeah, right, right. Yeah, and it's not just the people say, well, you know, that's the hiss and the crackle.
Oh, it isn't. It is not. It isn't, because you could just maybe just, well, just record the hiss, too.
Right.
It is the audio waves themselves
mm-hmm.
being produced from a vinyl record. Like, I don't know if maybe some listeners haven't listened to a vinyl record, but it is something else. When you get a great recording, not all recordings are great. You know, that's the other side of it. They were very good at capturing the sound production of whatever studio you were in. So if it was a full symphony and they were recording in an empty symphony hall, it might have been fantastic. If it was, you know, a rinky-dink little recording studio, it might be pretty trashy.
Right. Not to mention that you have to listen to the recording as close to as how it was recorded. For instance,
yep. Right.
The Beatles, they recorded in mono.
Yes, exactly.
So
you can't play in stereo.
You can get the LPs in mono or stereo. However, if you get it in stereo, it doesn't sound the same.
Right.
And
because it wasn't recorded to have and maybe people wonder, what do you mean? A mono is, it's recording all the, there's one audio channel.
Right.
Whereas a stereo, there's a left and a right audio channel. Actually, there's more left and right. But I mean, generally, there's a left and right audio channel. So you're capturing some left, and that's when you hear some of the noise on your left side, some of the noise on the right. Mono, it was engineered a particular way for that one audio channel. And when you remove that engineering and apply to a different way and they, you know, fiddle with it, it's just not the same. It's not what the engineer had in mind.
It is amazing that you can take an audio, you can take a mono signal with different, you know, pretty much different tracks that were laid down into one mono signal. And there's a way that you can get them back out. That's amazing.
It is incredible.
But you don't do it. Just don't.
Right. Because that's not what the engineer intended.
Right.
Like there's an engineer who's very good at their job recording in 61 and 62 that meant to do it in mono. They did it on purpose.
And
they
were still
at their job.
Well, but Pat Rabbit says, you know, Pat Rabbit brings up a good point. It's hard to mix in mono.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was, wasn't that Phil Spector's like wall of sound, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was from the mono era. And he was kind of taking advantage of the single track recording when he brought in all these things. It wasn't trying to layer in a stereo thing. It would have been done differently.
Mm-hmm.
It was all very intentional. These people were skilled professionals, and they were going for a particular sound. Especially when you're talking late 50s, early 60s, that those were men, women of craft.
Oh yeah, yes, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, no, I got the Beatles on mono and I listened to it and I was there. I was back when I was a kid, like just as my dad listened to it, you know, when he put them on. It was amazing because it was the first time in forever that I'd actually heard the Beatles playing as they should have been. Because I've heard them plenty of times. I've had their CDs, I've had them on tape. You know, listen to them, but it wasn't the same. It's so hard to explain if you don't.
Well, and
you can't just experience it.
And so people might be saying, well, what about seeing them live? At a certain point, they stopped touring.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't doing exclusively studio work.
Right.
No, I think they were transit. I think, I'm losing me. I forget which one was their last mono album because they did do stereo, like Sgt. Pepper was stereo.
Oh yeah,
I think the White Album is definitely stereo. But at a certain point, they weren't doing the clubs anymore. They weren't doing the stadium tours. They were just exclusively an album band. And
yeah, it's probably because they didn't really like each other.
They didn't get along. They didn't get along. And I think John in particular was very uncomfortable with that level of fame.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, right.
He definitely didn't like the big crowds. That wasn't his thing. Paul certainly did. but yeah, I think that almost as much as anything else was a divider. I know they blamed it on Yoko, but I think Yoko was more about getting John to be like his own type of artist. And he was very anti-commercial.
Right. I still don't like her. Yeah.
You don't have to. Yeah, right. No, it's fair. Yeah, but I think they would have broken up anyway.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. There would have been something else, yes. For sure. We're talking about music and it's all interconnected because when the analog modems were out, that's what they were kind of doing, was making music. Well, sound waves.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yes.
The upper and lower sound limit.
Yeah, yes.
Because you had to dial in. You had to get both sides to hear and agree on a set of tones and on what they were going to be talking to one another. That was that initial handshake. It was all done by audio. I still find it very fascinating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It is. And then we moved into the T1. And I said that, you know, the T1, which is the 1.5.
She's a Gen Zer, right? She's in her
20s. She is.
Had the Gen Zer's eyes started to glaze over at this point.
No, she was. She was extremely
curious.
She's an
expert over the history of tech.
She is. She
you're,
is.
You're pretty Prometheus delivering fire from the
I was. I was. And she said, I said it's 1.56 megabytes per second. And she said, what? She's like, I have 900 megabytes download at my house. I'm like, well, let's just say.
I've given people dirty looks that had more than 1.5 megabytes of information in them. it was a different time. Did you show her the cutting edge online multiplayer games of the era?
I didn't get mud. You mean like mud?
A mud, yeah, a mud.
A mud. No, I didn't get that far with that. But
NetHack is, you can actually still play some of them. I don't know that they're 50 years old, but NetHack is up. You can go play NetHack places. Mm-hmm. You can play it in the web, which is just so. I feel dirty when I'm hearing this in the web. I want to play from a command line.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I was telling her that businesses were paying like $1,000 a month for a T1 line.
The competitive advantage a company.
Uh-oh, you there? Did we lose Aaron?
You can't hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. That was weird. The competitive advantage you had from being a business that was using any sort of electronic online was gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could communicate orders more quickly. You could
turn out
inventory faster. It was a big competitive advantage.
Oh, that for
was,
sure.
That was 36K. It made a difference.
Yeah, and I mentioned, like, you know, that T1 lines were $1,000 a month, and that was so expensive that you could fractionalize it. You could fractionalize T1.
You would lease it with one another.
Yeah, and you could do, you know, frame relay and split it up. And she's like, what? It was just mind-blowing.
And too. There was more than one protocol. There wasn't just internet protocol.
Yeah, that's correct.
There was more than, you know, the competitive Apple Talk.
Yes. And there was the, the IBM's.
What was IBM's? I know there was ATM. Matt Marconi had a lot to do with
that. ATM. We were talking about that. Yeah.
That was later. That was later on the road.
But there was DEC, right?
DEC, yeah. DEC standard. And mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot.
And then there was Novell's. They used the IPXSX or something.
Yeah, yeah. Novell had something. Novell had IPXSDX.
Yeah.
They all their own pluses and minuses, and IP1, just because it was a technology standard. It didn't matter if it was better. It was just, as long as everybody has agreed on the one thing, it's like that ping pong between the two sounds on both sides of a phone. Once it's set up, as long as both sides understand, you've got communication. Same thing with any sort of tech standard. As long as everybody's on the same page, the top to the races.
Right. And, was ATM a better protocol? Maybe.
Maybe. If you look at it, it actually has some... it's a little bit of a forerunner to IPv6 in some ways, although IPv6 is much bigger. It's all about adoption. And, it just didn't matter if a small proprietary, or a smaller proprietary codec is better. It's the one that everything works. I pulled up ATM page on Wikipedia. It's got the broadband, integrated services digital network, ISDN, which I remember in my telecom, program days, the joke, it still does nothing, ISDN.
It still does nothing.
Yeah, it was because it never took off. It never took off as like this, high-end data transmission thing. And I think it's because the internet wasn't open yet. Right. Al Gore who did, you know, he did lobby to have, develop the internet. That's of course wrong, but he did have the legislation involved that freed up a lot of the, until then, very proprietary government stuff, DARPA, ARPANET, that was the backbone for the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, as a liberal, did the most commercial, capitalist commercial thing you could ever do, which is, let the private industry come in. And it was a huge success.
Yes.
I don't think you're proud of that fact.
So the PRIs, ISDN lines, were used more than the BRIs were, you know?
Oh, for sure. ISDNs were around for quite some time.
Oh, yeah, especially.
I don't think they really took off.
No, with the PRI, which is 23, that's 23 channels, right? Plus a management channel, right? Those helped out because you could replicate, POTS lines, phone lines.
Yeah, right.
And you could
data all on the same connection.
Exactly. Yeah.
You could plug in a phone and it would be able to read the phone, or you could plug in a data connection, be able to do data connection. Which
right.
We hadn't been able to replicate until really just recently.
No, we know. And it did DID, direct inward dialing, too. You could have it set up so that, you have a bunch of numbers and the number you're dialing actually goes to that person's desk instead of having to dial a standard number and then hitting an extension.
Right. And if you were to call, you would have to dial into revolution.radio/donations.html or patreon.com/revolutionradio if you want to make a donation. Sorry to drop that in there.
No.
But yeah, the whole schema had to overcome so much limitation on copper, because copper was how phone lines were distributed. And there was no fiber in common usage. One was fiber, although it was in the '80s. But it was all the long haul stuff. There wasn't fiber to people's homes. There wasn't even a lot of local fiber in between CO central offices, switching offices. So if you ever dialed an area code, if you ever wonder what the CO was, that was actually the number of the central office. So there'd be a 412 area code that was coming into that office. And that's how you would know to reach that office.
There'd be exchanges too, right?
The CO would handle
a certain number of exchanges. The first three numbers.
Was a different office, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So you'd have, 412-555 would be one office, and, or about that one office made you a number of different, other sub-exchanges.
Yes.
And if it wasn't in there, if you ever saw from the '40s, you'd have the switchboard operators, the women typically, plugging in the phone lines. That's what that was. They were doing a literal circuit connection from point A to point B.
Patch cord.
Yeah. Directly patch cord with these big, thick cables.
Yep. And I explained that to her too. And she's just like, what? I mean, this is all like a what?
And I'll tell you, until the late '90s, it was still circuit. It was all still circuit based. It didn't start coming in to be, packet based until, 2009.
I'm looking at that.
We were doing circuit based until we got to until we started getting a digital or until we started getting to data based wireless. they'd have stuck with circuit until then. Until we got to data, we were still using circuit switch networks. PTSN.
the public. The public
telephone switch
network. Public switch telephone network. Yeah.
Yeah.
SDN. So what were those big, those big machines that did the actual switching and took care of the operator, took the place of the operator?
So at a certain point, they're all mechanical. They replaced the women with, mechanical, cross connectors.
Yeah.
In 1960 something, electronic Signaling System 1 came out. They had to call it Electronic Signaling System because if they called it a computer, Ma Bell would be infringing on IBM, and they weren't allowed to do that. They weren't allowed to make computers. It sounds like ridiculous to say this right now because obviously it was a computer, but they weren't allowed to infringe on IBM's creation of stuff because they had a government monopoly that was strictly around telecom. So it wasn't a computer, it was an electronic signaling system. So that replaced the mechanical cross connects with a electronic one. And that was groundbreaking.
And that's so what
ESS
you,
yes. went, was,
ESS,
that was,
yes.
ESS it turned into Signaling System 7, SS7, eventually it was SS1 through 6. And that was, it might still be running.
I think they're still being used.
It has not, it's been 5 years, but there were still remnants of it on the cross connects, between, people hadn't gotten rid of their copper lines yet. There were still some old second generation phones, so third gen might have still been using it. So until 4G, they weren't in a position to get rid of all that stuff. 4G, you officially can. 4G gives night. So for the paranoid amongst our listeners, 4G gives your phone a unique ID that is known by your carrier. So you are giving them a fingerprint of who you are. Now, you may use a burner phone. They might not be able to turn it back, but they darn sure know who that phone is. They might not know who you are, but they actually absolutely track that phone.
Yeah.
It's built into how the system works.
Mm-hmm.
The system is always pulling your phone. If you've heard of paging, you people got a page. That was an afterthought. Paging was originally messages from the cell phone carrier to an individual phone to let it know that it had a call coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It was the paging channel. The paging channel had very low overhead, and if there was no call coming, you could use it for other stuff, and that's how they monetized sending little pages. And that's why there was a limitation on how big a page a text could be, because there was only so many text characters that could fit into the size of the message the paging channel sent. Right back to the messages, the limitations we had over the copper line is a limitation on the then analog phone, analog radio message.
So the pager was just using a technology that was already in place.
It was free riding off of cellular paging, strictly designed to just send cellular messages.
Yes. So you pay for this pager, you pay for a service for the pager, and you can pay for messages. That was already built in and already free, part of connecting a phone call.
Yep, right, exactly. And the pager network wouldn't have arisen on its own.
No.
But because it was so much cheaper to send a page than to pay for the monthly bill, it actually made more money for a while.
I didn't know
there
was that.
Paging companies because they were rent bandwidth from people, and that's how that paging network would come about. And hospitals loved it because they could just share a pager, not share a cell phone, and you got your message real quick. And that paging culture exists in the hospital systems today. We've got it's modern services that replicate pagers. Now they don't use the paging channel anymore.
No.
for obvious reasons. One, because it's actually technically not really there. There's a there's a whole messaging channel now. I mean, it's all much more sophisticated than it was back in those days. And the culture itself of, you know, there being a pager and getting a page, companies like Spoke, they kind of replicate it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so ingrained in the culture. The technology has moved past it. Now, you know, it's funny. They talk about how, these kids these days don't use phone calls. Do you make phone calls anymore?
I do. I mean, do I make an actual, like, a landline call or on my cell phone?
Like, even cell phone calls. Like, I call contractors on the cell phone, for sure. But when I'm at work, it's a rarity for me to make.
You know what, though? I tell you what, I have to say I prefer making a phone call over, if I'm messaging somebody, Like, I can do, like...
So, but... So, my thing is, I do make phone calls, but they're WebEx. They're Skype.
Oh, okay. So, you talk over the... You don't talk over the phone, but you talk over Teams right. or WebEx.
And even Skype and even on your phone, do you use Apple Time or FaceTime, or do you use the phone?
I usually use the phone, but FaceTime.
I think most people... Did you know that your phone can do video calls?
I did.
Like, in and of itself. Do you ever use that?
I do, sometimes, yeah.
You know, it's funny, I'll communicate with my sister, we'll use Google Meets. Both our phones are video capable.
Yeah, but you use some third party.
Yeah, we use the app.
Yeah, no, I I do.
It's funny, like WhatsApp is an entirely internet-based messaging app, but it uses your phone number.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it locates, you know, the customer, but otherwise the whole thing is separate from their phone company. It just kind of ingrained in people these old, ritualistic things we remember.
Like yeah, no. Number. No, if I'm talking to somebody and it's like, hey, I need you to look at something. Okay, well, then let's start a video call, you know. Otherwise, you know, I usually talk when I'm driving or, you know, somewhere that's it's not feasible.
So the times that I would use it or if I'm on the road and calling my wife. So that would come up then. You know, like I said, calling contractors nowadays. Sometimes my wife will call customer service for different places. But that's really about it.
Yeah.
And I bring this up because I actually said back in my telecom days, I said, you know what, phone numbers are on the way out. And I suggested to the upper management, nobody listened to me, that they start getting away from phone numbers.
Mm.
I think they're insecure. These spam calls would go away, could go away if you move to a more modern system. Because you just couldn't guess like somebody's like address.
Right, especially if it was an IPv6.
What's
your phone number? 0045-366.
Right, you exchange somebody something that you wouldn't tell. You wouldn't recite it. You would just, like, beep your phone together, and they would be able to call you.
Yeah.
But otherwise, random people couldn't call you. As it should be, because it's a hassle on their scam artists.
Oh, my gosh. I get so much... you know, spam, phone calls, messages, and smishing, and everything. It's crazy. And luckily, you know, like I don't fall for these email campaigns and these phishing and everything campaigns because you know why? Because I don't answer my email. So.
Yeah, my God, I answer email.
I don't get caught up in that. I gotta do something about my email. I have 41,555 unread emails in my Gmail account.
Who cares? Right now. So what?
Yeah. Whatever.
There's so many people contacting me about nonsense that I don't have the time.
No. Did you see my email? Probably not.
Yeah, right. Most likely not. If you had something to tell me, you would have told me in a different fashion.
I'm kind of glad that email's kind of taking the place that it should. I mean, I don't think it's ever, you know, it's like people have used it, I think, in my view for too long as this high priority thing. And everybody understands that it's a lower priority, but at the same time, they treat it as a higher priority. They're like, did you get my email? If you have to ask if you got my email, it was way too important.
Well, you know what? I don't know what it's like for your place, but these days, like, no, it's been buried. Can you resend it to get at the top of the chain? I've never been to be like, I'm offended. You didn't read my email?
Mm-hmm.
You still don't have any unread emails you have. Sorry. Yeah, they all show up in blue writing. What made yours stand out?
That was the other thing the intern was looking at. She's like, you have like 1,000 emails unread in this one box. I'm like, So?
And I hope I've got many unread emails by the time I'm dead.
Yes.
God, please let me die with unread email. Please.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, I know.
But, Do you use any sort of your Slack, your Discord communication tools at work?
For professionals?
Yeah, for work. Particularly yeah. Slack. Slack's a big one these days.
I don't.
Teams?
Yeah, it's Teams.
Do you have a Teams chat, though?
I do. Yeah, a Teams chat.
Teams chat's a Slack.
Okay, then yeah, I do. Yeah,
but I don't have one at my work, and I kind of think we could use one.
You don't have a Teams chat kind of thing?
No, and I really think I think it could be helpful. If we're all just kind of like keyed in on it. During work hours, I don't want to be on it after work.
No, I think it's really helpful. I mean, because you're like, hey, somebody's in a meeting, or I'm in a meeting, and someone just has a quick question for me, and it's like a yes or a no or a three, you know? The answer is three or yes or no.
And you can lob it into the chat. If you don't get the immediate response, it's okay, but if people know to check it more frequently. Because, like, I think to me, and I am, kind of demands an immediate response.
Yeah.
It's very pushy. Hey, sorry, I'm on tap again. But it's like you're really kind of being pushy. Whereas with that, it's like, hey, it's kind of a thing here. But, you know, you'll look in it when you look in it. But it's not going to be like 5 hours from now.
Right.
Speaking of things that you should be paying attention to, please check out revolution.radio/donations.html or patreon.com/revolutionradio to look into ways you can support this fine radio station.
Did you know, did you know we passed our 1 year anniversary for being on Revolution Radio? Polite Gunfight at this time slot, 10 to 12 on Tuesday nights.
Wait a minute. It's only been 1 year?
It's been just over 1 year that we've been on Revolution Radio.
I thought we went in on 2020. We didn't go in until 2021.
Oh my gosh, you might be right. We might have. Yeah, we did. This has been 2 years.
I thought it was 2 years. I thought we've been at it on Revolution Radio for more than.
You know what? Now you see. Now that I put it back into you know, BP or DP or AP, you know. Before pandemic, during pandemic.
Oh, my God. Oh, can this just end? Feels like it's ending. Although now it's getting hot in Europe again. Oh, God.
What is it? What's the strain in Europe now?
I don't know. Some new strain is right. Feels like it's just nothing but strain. Ugh, just another freaking strain. So sick of this stuff. Anyway, hope it goes away. It's still not bad in my area. Its numbers are just down. So hope it stays that way. Maybe everyone can just, maybe the Russians can get it. Russian army. The Russian people are under a dictator. Putin can get it all. Give all the COVID he wants.
Speak of the Russians. Did you? There was a call today. It was a large call. Many people could, dial into the
cybersecurity call. Yes.
Cybersecurity call. It was a, an unclassified call.
A white band, right?
Yes. Anybody could call into and listen to the, you know, the FBI speak and CISA speak. And, you know, it was like many people tuned in. And after it was over, they had their spiel. There was questions, and people could ask questions, and they took questions from the crowd of people listening. And, it was all just a PR. It was pretty much a PR stunt. I mean, if they had mentioned, you know, the good job that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris had done, you know, the great job that they've done and all the stuff they've put in place is like, I was going to gag. It's like, okay, it doesn't matter who's in the White House or anything like that. That's not pertinent to really what's going on out there. I mean, Joe Biden, you know, standing in front of a microphone and talking to the American people about cybersecurity. Yeah, you know what? It happened. It was, cybersecurity was going on well before he got into office, and it's going to go on after he's left and him making.
For sure. And that would have been true if Trump won.
Sure. Exactly.
It's an ongoing thing.
Exactly.
It's not anything for any one president to claim any. The best he can do is make sure that they get money. They get funding.
Yeah. So it's just, oh my gosh, it was kind of a letdown. I mean, I was kind of expecting to hear something that I could sink my teeth into, to hear. But it was, they weren't saying anything. Like, hey, look, the FBI's on the phone. Can they unclassified level with the people on this call and say, yeah, we have intel that Putin and his army are going to actually try something, and here's what it's going to be, right? Instead, what did CISA say? They said, if you see something, say something. If it's kind of like, hey, I'll tell you what, hey, look, if you see something, well, just send us all your logs and everything like that, and we'll see if it is something, right? What financial or what entity, independent entity, wants to send that information to the government, especially if they're
no regulated industry.
Exactly, because
they're going to be sending that out of fear that they're going to say, oh,
why didn't you catch this?
This doesn't look right.
Yeah, right. This doesn't look right. Why didn't you catch this? This was part of your job. Now you get fined for this, Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I can see there was like Army Corps of Engineers there. Okay. Some government entities there. Yeah, they'll play nice with each other. I'm sure that, they're not going to get the screws put to them, but no, external private industry is going to, see something, say something to the CISA. Forget it. It's not going to happen.
For sure not. Yeah.
So, just tell us so we can help you. We're from the government. We're here to help you.
For the government, we're here to help. Yeah. And in particular, the separation between who you're talking to on the call and then the people in the know is gigantic.
Right.
Like, you're so far removed from NSA, who had a... Which one was it that stepped down and said, it was the job of private industry to do defense?
I thought that was the NSA.
It was NSA, but I'm trying to think which NSA director said that.
Oh,
It was an Army, ex-Army guy.
NSA. Yeah.
Let me see who it was. But, it's kind of, known that it was Alexander who said that, I'm pretty sure. Cause he was under Bush and Obama. It was his opinion that, just not their job.
What? Right. Huh.
And he's got a private cybersecurity firm.
Right, which is now it's his job. Yeah. When he was getting paid by the people, it wasn't his job, but now he's making millions on his own, it's now his job.
It's now his job, right.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, like I said, I don't know. I shouldn't have been let down. I mean,
If you want that type of insight, you have to pay good money for it.
Yeah. I know. I wanted to hear some reassurance that, I mean, so maybe I did at least get some reassurance that they kind of alluded that, we're more in the know than we say we are. Okay. We're the government's more in the know that they're able to talk about at the time,
Yeah, but, they probably are.
Yeah, well, that at least gives me some comfort, They could be bluffing, completely bluffing. We got absolutely nothing.
We got nothing.
And even though we have nothing, we still can't tell you we have nothing, because that even looks worse. So, yeah, But it was just like, yeah, that's a waste of time. I'm never going to join those calls again. But that was
bad. Yeah, I think some slice of calls are interesting, but they're high level ones never are.
Yeah. But I mean, I do think that like there should be more communication within. Like if you're in cybersecurity, you work for company A, and then you're in somebody in company B, they could do more talking. You know, they could be a better discuss. You know, there could be more discussion between the two companies. I mean, and you don't have to give away the keys of the kingdom, right? You don't have to air your dirty laundry, but I think that there should be. You know, there could be better communication between companies. That's just my point of view.
Yeah, I think it's true. But who are we to say? We're here to pay money to people to do the job for us, I guess. But
right.
That's the situation we're in, and that's what we got to live with.
Right. Well, we're coming up to the bottom of the first hour.
And as we get there, just a reminder that you can always support this entirely listener-supported radio station at revolution.radio/donations.html or at www.patreon.com/revolutionradio, donorbox.org/revolution-radio, or the Zazzle store at zazzle.com/store/revradio.
Or by dialing 412. What is it? Man, I can't remember.
51212?
No. No.
Number?
61-5808. Thank you.
I don't want to say that because it is actually still a live number, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you could call it. I don't know if
you'd be supporting a private or public radio station in the Pittsburgh area.
Right, which would rather you support Revolution Radio. I wish there was a snazzy number that I could just keep on saying.
Oh, but, if only.
But we're in the tech age, so you can just go to Revolution Radio and support us from there. And mention how much you love this show, the Leg Gunfight. And you'll be the first one, so thank you. We will see you after the break.
Brian Rue Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Rue Show Tuesday nights from 6-8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
They do, but I want my own recording.
The pill has been taken. The blinders are off. Are we in the end game? Or are we simply living a replay of a time that's already happened, with no choices? Different people have different points of view. When it comes to creation versus evolution, my point of view, we were created to evolve. The Red Pill. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern in Studio B. www.freedomslips.com and revolution.radio.
check it out.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocopic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now, we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, hey, thanks for coming back. Yes, love the applause.
Love the applause. Thanks for coming back here at Play Gunfight at Revolution Radio. Again, you can support Revolution Radio at Zazzle.com/store/RevRadio, DonorBox.org/Revolution-Radio, Patreon.com/Revolution Radio, or Revolution.Radio/Donations.HTML. Please come by and give us donations on all this radio station and all the fun shows down the air.
So,
good.
Yeah, real quick. let's see. I don't know how to take this. I'm not offended exactly. I don't know how to take it. Somebody had called me up and they said that, oh, you're now working for this person, which is me. And they said, you have to be careful because, he is ultra conservative.
Ultra conservative.
Yes, ultra conservative.
Ultra.
Ultra conservative. Yes. So, and then,
I'm going to have a segue on this. When you were growing up, did you watch on TV, I think it was on Channel 22 in our town, Ultraman?
Ultraman?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I did.
It was a Japanese show.
Sounds Japanese.
Yeah, what gave it away. So it's from the 60s and the reruns during the late 70s and 80s. This guy would turn into this giant superhero that would fight monsters. And he was Ultraman. He had like a little flashlight that helped him turn into them. And he crossed his arms together and shot laser beams at the giant.
He's like silver and red and black?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and he's sort of like the Japanese Superman. He's like a big deal in Japan. And I think, yeah, in a way, cool Superman, because he's fighting giant monsters all the time, which is pretty awesome.
I see.
Anyway, ultra-conservative.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. I mean, if somebody called me an ultra-conservative, would I be, is that a bad thing? I mean, did they see that as a bad thing? You know, not like how I view it. Did they view that as a bad thing?
So I'm guessing they do. Because they, like, again, ultra isn't usually used in a way that's very positive these days.
Ultraman would not be viewed as positive, you're saying.
Well, I mean, actually, no, he probably wouldn't, right? Ultraman.
Oh, right.
You may as well just put it in white man. I don't want to make sense. But go on. I mean, like, if you're going to go after one class people, these days you can go after white guys, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like no one's going to come to, like, you're putting white men too down too much. That's just not going to happen.
You don't have to put him down enough. Are you kidding me?
Right, you're right. Come on. Like, even saying that, I have to apologize.
You let him breathe?
What? They're trash.
So, I was thinking, like, what would an ultra-conservative me do? I mean,
so I try not to have any political conversations at work.
I don't. I absolutely don't. I certainly don't. No. Yeah, I mean, so that's
good.
Did you say you
like Trump out loud or something?
No.
Okay.
Man, no,
how,
I mean,
how'd they pin that on you?
That's what I was going to be like. I don't remember saying,
you know,
that my wife's in the kitchen cooking and that's where she belongs. I don't remember saying that.
What does your wife do for a living? She's a housewife where she belongs.
Right. What is your,
I'm kidding.
I didn't tell a joke. What is your, wife say when she says she wants a new watch? Say, there's a clock on the stove.
feminist counter joke. How many feminists does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know how many.
That's unfunny.
why does it take five women PMSing to change a light bulb?
Why?
Because it does, okay?
Just because it does, all right? Yeah. Anyway,
I had to be like that.
Ultra conservative. I don't know what would give that away about him.
I don't know. I mean,
must be your walk, maybe just your white guy.
I may be.
He's a white guy. I think he's in management now. You know what that means?
Yeah, right.
He's one of those types.
Well, I mean, like, I met her. I mean, because of the pandemic, I met her once at like a company picnic. And I introduced myself and she's like, the alcohol's over there. And I'm like, okay, where? And then it was a joke because there wasn't any. So I don't know. That was like the extent of our conversation.
Oh, well, there you go. Privilege.
Privilege. Okay. All right. I'm getting it now. I'm getting it.
You didn't, let me ask this. So was it a cookout?
It was a comedy cookout, yeah.
When she said the nurse, was there any mention of any vegan pseudo meat?
No.
Okay, so you didn't say, "Oh, this isn't one of those vegan hot dogs, is it?"
No.
that could be a downer.
Well, this person's like, well, this person has been with the company a long time. Let's say that this person's been with the company almost as long as you've been alive.
Wow.
So I wouldn't expect them to be
ultra conservative.
No, yeah, right.
That really sounds like you do stuff on the weekends.
Like I do what?
I don't know, something. Like, you fight whatever ultra-conservatives fight on the weekends. Communism, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Are the communists to be even fought on the weekends? I thought... my take is generally ultra-conservatism kind of won.
It's kind of what?
It won.
Ultra-conservatism
like, the conservatives won. Like, in the world. Like, so Putin's, like, the last gas of the communists, and he's just a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
China's big thing is their production and making and selling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives won.
Yeah.
For the most part, that's the system won. Because in the Cold War was, among other things, the battle between capitalism and communism, right? And some would maybe think even centrally. I think it's more centrally about nukes, but... as well as capitalism, communism. Communism lost.
It did.
It just wasn't as effective. It wasn't good at what it was supposed to be doing.
Would you say maybe some people might think Catholics are ultra-conservative?
So, if I hear ultra-conservative Catholic, that's going to be someone's got their ashes on Ash Wednesday.
Got their ashes
on
Ash
Wednesday. That's going to be somebody who... doesn't eat meat on Friday.
Doesn't eat meat on Friday. That, what about not using prophylactics
to fight? Yeah, but that wouldn't come up in the office, one would think.
No. I mean,
they would have like 8 or 9 kids.
Yeah.
You'd have more than 2 kids, typically.
Right. I don't know. I don't know what...
conservative.
I was just kind of baffled by that.
So I would think at the organization that you're at, ultra-conservatism wouldn't be terribly uncommon.
And it wouldn't be shunned. You know, right. you wouldn't be like, Ed's an ultra-conservative, and then be like, oh, no, not
what?
Him. What?
In this field?
Really? Not him. No.
In this line of work? Yeah, you wouldn't say that about that.
No. So, I mean, I was miffed. How about
miffed.
But
miffed? Miffed you.
And what about?
Oh, were you ultra miffed?
Was I ultra miffed? No, I was just kind of like, I'm what?
Just mildly miffed.
So this person was talking to me, and they reserved their language, their foul language. And I'm like, who are you? I'm like, why did you change the language today for me? And she,
you know what you should do? You should counter drop about the other person and say, oh yeah, they're super PC.
Nice. Right.
Because then they're like, the person be like, oh, that's why she said he's ultra conservative because mm-hmm. he doesn't like PC stuff. So.
Right.
And it makes them seem like the stick's up. Turn up.
Right. Reverse the stick.
That's what... Oh, she's one of those types.
Yes.
A canceler, a cancel culture-ish person.
Well, that's
I bet she's boycotting something.
But I picked up on it right away because I drew it out of her because she's like...
She said, yes,
I'm trying not to swear as much. I'm like, okay. She's like, well, because you're ultra-conservative. And I'm like,
why the F are you trying not to swear so much?
Because I'm ultra-conservative. I'm like, what? I am? Am I? I don't know. Maybe I am. I don't know. Like, I feel that I
swear to establish who I am because I've sworn in front of my bosses pretty consistently.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes. I don't know. I kind of.
When you're having the internal conversations, you have to say the F word.
Yeah, you do. Sometimes. I mean, I don't think I've ever
had. Well, it doesn't have to be every other word. But when you're emphasizing somebody doesn't know what the F they're talking about,
yeah,
you really can't get around that. Because there's a world of difference between they don't know what they're talking about and they don't know what the F they're talking about.
That's real. That's real.
Especially in the tech field.
That's true.
Yeah, there's a particular point of emphasis on they don't know what the F they're talking about.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of spoiled because the people in security and cybersecurity, the people that I work with, they do know what they're talking about. They don't have to conceal it behind like buzzwords.
BS buzzwords,
right? It's like they can actually say something and it makes sense. You know? And you're like, wow, I'm amazed.
Always a winner.
Exactly. It's refreshing to me, actually. But let's see, it was like 2006. Someone had said I was working, you know, in tech, and someone was like, yeah, we had a poll about you. I'm like, okay. Do I want to know? Like, yeah, we had a poll and said that who in the office would most likely have a pocket protector, and it was unanimously you. I'm like, you seem as the kind of guy that would have a pocket protector. Yes, like you just put a pocket protector in.
An ink pen user stored in my pocket, in my front pocket.
Yes, and you have a slide in a plastic insert to protect the pen, to protect the shirt pocket.
From a leaking pen.
Yes.
Comes up much. In 2006.
Yes. So, I mean, I think that was like, I mean, that was, I mean, that's kind of the ultra-conservatism of tech.
So, but that's ultra-nerd, though. That's ultra-geek.
Yeah.
So, ultra-nerd, ultra-geek, typically, I think people see them as asocial, apolitical.
Okay.
So, yeah. Like, all the geeks on Big Bang
Theory, yeah,
had very sophisticated views on this, that, and the other thing, but the net politics never came up.
Myopic in a lot of ways.
Right. They might have had, like, some slight digs at, like, the Defense Department.
Okay, yeah. But from a technology standpoint.
But very, very mild. Like, we don't want to sell it to the Army. That was, like, that was one thing. That was it.
Right.
But not any sort of, like, is it good that, like, a tech firm wants to use this to mine data or whatever? Well, they don't really remember that. yeah.
Yeah, so what is the more, what's the bigger blow? The pocket protector or the ultra-conservatism? What?
I'd say it's a bigger blow in 2022 to be seen as ultra-conservative than to be seen as a geek in 2006.
Mm.
Okay. I think geek still had some cachet in 2006, is my theory.
I don't know. I think geeks have definitely come a long way. You know, they've become like.
Well, that's what I mean.
The mainstream.
I think they've come along. But even in 2006, I don't think it was so bad to be a tech nerd. Whereas I think it's always been seen as pretty square to be a Republican.
Right. Yeah. Hmm.
I'm not saying every movie. I'm saying it's how they might have interpreted it.
Sure.
A little break. This is Revolution Radio that you can support as a loyal listener at revolution.radio/donations.html, patreon.com/revolutionradio, donorbox.org/revolution-radio, and the zazzle.com/store/revolutionradios. Let me do that again. Zazzle.com/store/RevRadio. That's our Zazzle store to buy merchandise.
One more. I'll give you one more. I worked at McDonald's back in college. And are you sharpening a pencil?
Yes.
Okay, I can tell. Now, I was working back in college, back at McDonald's, and I heard the my coworkers like wouldn't talk to me, like I tried and I really couldn't get to talk to them, and then I was let in on the joke. My manager had told everybody that I was on work release from prison. That a van came.
That's pretty wild.
That a van came and picked me up after my shift, and that you never saw me again. You know, like you ever see him? He shows up like out of nowhere and leaves out of nowhere. You know.
Work release. That's classic.
That I was put in. That I was in jail for something, and that this was my way to get out. And
I got that's pretty funny.
Well, you know, except for the fact that like none of my coworkers talked to me, and they all ran away from me at any time they could. So, and they're like, "Well, here's the joke here. Here's why nobody likes you. Here's why everybody's afraid of you."
Did it finally come out, and then you were friends with everybody?
No, he never. He never dispelled the myth. He just let it play. And you know, things changed and people left and, you know, there was a new crew of people. So, but, in given time, but, you know, so now I ask you, what's the worst?
I think I'd rather be known as a Republican than a felon.
Right.
So I think you've got a pecking order there between being shunned at the office, 3 times now, apparently.
Yeah. Right. Huh. So yeah, that's all that I know of. Maybe there's been a story every time I've heard.
Who knows? Yeah, right. The three you've heard of.
Right. Yeah.
I think I'm at the phase of life that if people didn't like me somewhere at this point, I'd rather just not know.
Yeah, look, I was telling my 12-year-old just tonight, saying what people think about you is none of your business. Because it really
I'd rather be pleasantly deluded.
What's that?
I'd rather be pleasantly deluded.
Yeah.
Than know that you're disliked.
Especially when you're 12, because people don't like people for, crazy reasons.
Yeah, stupid reasons. Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, and that could change, you know, with the wind blow, right?
Yep.
So, you know, there's people don't really look, when you're 12, you don't really look deep into another 12-year-old's soul and, walk a mile in their
shoes. Everybody's a jerk at 12, in a way.
Well, yeah, sure.
It's the awkward age. It's the awkward age.
It's terrible. It shouldn't exist.
It should just be, you're asleep for a couple of years and then you wake up and you're over it.
I think parents everywhere would be happier.
Yeah, right.
Forget about the kids' experiences, the parents.
Indeed.
That to put up with it.
You've kept me asleep for 2 years. Trust me, it was the worst. It was the worst 2 years you could have had. I did you a favor. Yeah. Now look, you're all rested.
And Daddy didn't have to work. Daddy didn't have to drink.
Daddy didn't have to drink. Did you miss stuff going on? Yes, but, you know, you missed the bad stuff too, so.
Right. It was more bad.
It was bound to be more bad.
And come on, let's face it, you weren't going to contribute much anyway.
Right, come on, you're 12.
It was going to be dirty looks, a lot of pouting, yeah, nothing get like done.
We didn't. No one needed that. Yeah. Better off. I made the executive call. I think I stand by it.
No dishes were going to be done by you. Clean.
Yeah, come on.
Forget about even keeping up the room. Okay.
Yeah. What about your allowance? What about it? I spent it. How about that? What do you think of that?
Right. You were in a good place, though.
You were asleep.
You were in a good
place. You were in a better place, trust me.
You were smiling, wasn't
you? You were smiling. I hope you had nice dreams. Yeah, I would totally. I you could sign up people by the dozen, by the million for that service.
Yep. Yeah, you can play, you can put, you know, today's music in their ears while they're sleeping.
Today's music, you know what? If you woke up and you're like, you know, maybe do those little electrode thing. You can work them out. So, you know, they're in good shape by the time they wake up. They might be happy with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wake up all jacked. Beat you up.
Yeah, right. Anyway.
Technology. So yeah, there's the office bullying. We've done the ultra conservative thing, whether that's good or bad. The earlier audio track did noting that we are the geeks that we would wear pocket protectors for sure. What else we got? Pop culture. Do you see movies these days? Have you gone to movie theaters?
Last movie I saw was The Ghostbusters.
How was that one? You said you were somewhat of a fan.
I was mostly a fan. I was, the only thing that I could do without was the, the movie happened and then there's like, you look at your watch and you're like, there's 20 minutes left in the movie and then everything happened. You know, it's like,
everything. Yeah, that's a lot of movies. They're real slow and then at the real fast at the end.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, the people putting the movie together were like, yeah, this is a lot of, a lot of development here. We got to speed it up, guys. And then, they come to that decision way too late. But,
yet another Batman movie out. And I got to tell you, I didn't even see the last Batman movie. I'm kind of over Batman.
I mean, people were still saying, when you still hear people saying Michael Keaton or nobody, I think everyone's a little sick of Batman.
Yeah, I think people are sick of Batman. Like, it's enough. And even Marvel, I know people like the new Spider-Man movie, which sounds like it was exactly like the Spider-Man cartoon movie. It's like a multiverse movie. It's like, I've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
I was on this ride before.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I have no urge to see the Batman movie. I'd be looking forward to seeing Knives Out 2.
I'll see Knives Out 2. Yeah, I like that. It's completely novel.
Yeah.
It was a crime movie, a mystery movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I thought it was engaging all the way through.
It was.
Lots of different possible motives. Everything I was hoping for. A snappy dialogue. Fast-paced. Yeah. I loved it.
I did too. And I liked all the characters. I think they're all needed. There was no two-dimensional character.
Yeah. I could not see another of the 19 or the mid 2010 through 2020 giant superhero blockbuster. I could do without those for a while. I'm all blockbustered out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, like, there's not going to be put anything they're going to put on the screen that's going to make me want to care. I was actually lost interest in that series pretty early. Are you a Marvel fan?
I'm not really. I just.
They're fine. They're fine.
I don't know. I don't know. I got into Superman. I got into the Spider-Man. I got into the first Batman. And then I just kind of lost it. I mean, I liked, what was it, Batman? Wait, which one was Michelle Pfeiffer in? Was she in the original one?
That was, sort of talking like the late 80s. That was the second one.
Yeah, I thought it was the second one. That one wasn't bad.
We're talking about Christopher Reeve's Superman. Yeah, sure, I love that.
Christopher Reeve's
Superman's too small by today's standards. You know, not enough building punching. There's action, like the action sequence these days is very like fast, and I have no idea what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I watched Star Wars the other day and the first one. The trench run, you can understand what's going on. There's a particular military objective that a wing of basically airplanes is trying to attack. and they're pulling in on it, and it's like they're doing runs at carriers in the World War II in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much modeled on that. You know, they did runs where they would fly into a thing, they'd regroup, attack again, fly back.
Mm-hmm.
You watch the modern things, and there's no sense of any sort of objective or strategy. It's just things flying around.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it ultimately kind of boring.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be, you know, they're spending a lot of money to show all this action and all
this. It's so much bigger than it was, and it's bigger in a way that it's like I don't find it terribly engaging because there's no rhyme or reason. Everything you're seeing on screen, there was a an Honest Trailers thing that was talking about the first Avengers movie. That, said, this is Joss Whedon taking all the toys out of his toy box and smashing them together. And that's exactly what that movie felt like to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to offend the Marvel fans. And, even if you are offended, please do consider donating at patreon.com/revolutionradio or revolution.radio/donations.html. Yeah, it's just not my thing. I kind of liked Winter Soldier, but even then it kind of got out of hand a little bit. Civil War was cool, but that just started to have, to your point about characters, there's so many characters in it. And then by the time those, like, 6-hour, like, gargantuan, like, Infinity War Endgame movies came along, there's just a ton of characters, and they're going back and past, and they disappear in one movie, but they come right back later, 1 year later. So do you really feel bad? No, you know. It's just too much for me. Some of them have nice moments, but the human moments are about like robots, and why don't they just like be normal people doing normal people stuff?
Yeah, I know exactly. I agree. I don't like it, and I don't think I'll ever really get into those movies again. I mean, I don't think I need to watch another Superman movie, another Batman movie. I don't even know if I need to watch another Spider-Man movie. It was kind of compelling that like all the superhero, all the baddies came back and they're looking.
I didn't see it, but again, it sounded like the first Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, yeah.
And Into the Spider-Verse at least made fun of it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because they always talked about them having the same kind of origin story, so there was like a meta joke about it. Like you've seen this already. And I just don't think the Marvel movies ever get that ironic, other than Deadpool.
I liked in The Incredibles, where the movie the bad character, I can't remember, was it Bobby or what was his
Mr.
name?
Mr. Freeze.
Was he the bad guy in the first Incredibles movie?
Yeah.
But you know, he's sitting there. He's has the superhero. He has Mr. Incredible, or you know, up on the ropes. You know, and he's got him tied down or whatever. And he starts talking, and he gets into this. He's like, "Look at me, I'm monologuing." You know, like he brings up that's what
the villain does.
That's what the villain does, and that's their downfall. They give them enough. They monologue and give them enough time to escape. Right, and I thought that was pretty. I laughed at that. He's like, "Look at me, I'm monologuing about this," you know, and it's just, you know, to me that was funny, but that maybe funny. Maybe I'm only one that thought that.
I liked Incredibles 1 and Incredibles 2. I thought they were fun movies because again, they were as much about the family as they were about the superhero stuff.
Yeah, right. I thought so too.
And my wife is a big fan of The Incredibles too. Huge fan, and she's not a superhero fan at all.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it's like they draw you in. I like it. And that, you know, there's lots of action in that movie, but it's
there's enough action in it. I think that's the thing. They knew that it doesn't have to be a set piece every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay,
whereas like, it seems like the Marvel movies, the dialogue and the scenes in between are only just to set up the set piece.
Right. They're the comedy bit between setting up the next act when the curtain, they draw the pull the curtain out, right? The people that make the two.
Well, and the thing is, I like action. But the action stuff, I remember the fight sequences on Daredevil and The Witcher way more than I do any action sequence from a Marvel movie.
Yeah. You probably remember the action sequences in the Indiana Jones movies, right?
100%. There's been no sequence in any, and there's not been an action sequence in any of the Marvel movies that beat the initial sequence from Raiders.
No, right.
None. There's no memorables. The memorable thing from 23 movies is like Thanos snapping his finger, Tony Stark snapping his finger, saying I'm Iron Man. Like, just little bits like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to sequences, it's all just people jumping around.
Yeah. We're spending...
They don't pause. There's, again, you understood what was happening in that cave. Because mm-hmm. they took their time. You know, there's poison darts here. You have to walk past them slowly. Except when you're running past the boulder, you just have to outrun it. You know, there's the wall coming down. Mm-hmm. All that stuff. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's much, much better.
You had no idea that he had to shift the weight, you know, that he was trying to, you know, shift the weight between the idol.
The idol and the bag.
And the sandbag, right. There was no setup for that, but you got it.
Right. He knew to do it. He knew what was happening, and he thinks he got away with it, but he didn't.
Right.
Love it. Yeah, love it. Yeah, nothing. Yeah, there's the setup in those movies, I think, is just, it's imitated, but it's never been duplicated. I don't think this generation has, like, when they talk about directors, who's the big directors now? Like, Ryan Jacobs, who did, Ryan Johnson, who did Knives Out, and I think he did the second Star Wars movie, which had interesting points to it, but still it was still a beat by beat, copy of, Empire. And his better movie is definitely Knives Out.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Nolan, but it's like they're artsy directors. You don't have a Lucas. You don't have a Spielberg.
Right.
You have a Spielberg, and I guess
you definitely don't have a Richard Donner.
No Richard Donner. Nope. No Richard Donner. Who's the other directors? And Christopher
Zemeckis?
Columbus. Roger. Yeah, Zemeckis. Who's the Breakfast Club guy? I mean, I can't believe I'm blanking on his name.
Howard Hughes.
Was it Chris Hughes?
I thought it was Howard. Is it Howard Hughes?
Howard Hughes is the magnate.
No, but I thought it was the,
No. I have to look up the director now. Someone would be, my wife would be yelling it down at me right now. John Hughes, yeah. Yeah, John Hughes movies, kind of like classic, you know, teenager stuff. you get these shows like, I haven't watched it, but like Euphoria, which it's all like teenagers in a drug sex haze. Like, is that really teenagerdom in 2022?
Mm-mm.
During right. COVID, they're thinking ecstasy and going to clubs, really?
right.
Where are the parents?
They're at home with the kids, hopefully.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they must be just like doing fentanyl. They got their own problems.
Right.
Yeah, even like a movie like Top Gun, I don't think it's got any equal to it these days. I love Top Gun. It was a great movie.
It was. Definitely.
But people are very anti-military, I think, these days. Do you think most people are? I think there's an anti outright military thing going on within movies and TV shows for the most part these days. That's my take.
I don't know. Jack Ryan is out there.
I think the war on terror is generally viewed as like ineffective.
Yeah, that's true. That's a point.
And like in the superhero movies, they're all sort of like over and against the U.S. power. They're never like working with the military.
Yeah,
they're always like subverting it somehow, or they're superior to it. Tony Stark privatized world peace, he said, but ultimately I think that's like a dig at like,
yeah,
there being armed services or anything like that. Captain America being the standout difference, but then he broke, right? He became a rebel.
Yeah. Captain America. But he's more about, I don't know, he's kind of more about recycling than anything, if you ask me. He's kind of like saving the planet.
These days?
Yeah, isn't he?
I don't know. I don't know what he does these days. I mean, originally he was directly against Hitler.
Yeah, right. What about, did you see Space Force?
The show?
The show, yeah, Netflix.
No, series. I haven't seen Space Force.
I wanted to get your take on that. Hmm.
I have to send you, there's a video to YouTube guy who, he's an ex-Army DI drill instructor. And he was giving commentary as a drill instructor on the Space Force basic training. It was pretty funny.
Cool.
Please. It was pretty amusing. I'll have to find that for you.
Do you watch Ozark?
Haven't watched Ozark yet. Heard great stuff.
I think you'd enjoy it.
Jason Bateman, who's a big fan, my wife's a big fan of.
I am too. Like, I don't care if he's a typecast character or whatever. People might say that about him. I mean, I could say that about him, but I love him.
So I've been trying to get her to watch all of Arrested Development. She hasn't even seen all of that.
What? He's the same. I love him. He's just like, he's Jason Bateman and everything.
I think Arrested Development in particular, he's maximally Jason Bateman.
Yeah. He is. Well, no, you got to see Ozark then. You got to see Ozark.
Is he as funny though?
Not really as funny. No.
I kept telling you, there's money in the banana stand.
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, like, Ozark has a lot of Arrested Development in it because of Jason Bateman.
I thought it's kind of like akin to Breaking Bad.
It is. No, it is. Completely different setup. I'm just saying with Jason Bateman, he's Jason Bateman in it, and he's just, sure, love it.
Well, like, I'll have to check it out.
You know, people don't like how characters are only one, you know, one character, right? They don't stretch themselves enough, right? But
unless they deliver.
Exactly. Exactly. It's fine if you're Jason Bateman, because I love it. I want his character and everything. He's one of my favorite actors. So.
For sure. I will have to check that out.
Yeah.
What other shows are you watching these days? What else is on your radar?
Well, I don't get a lot of TV time, so Ozark is it right now. We watched Space Force. That's Steve Carell and never think of the guy's name when I want to. John Malkovich is in it, and he plays a scientist and a honored, well established scientist. And Steve Carell plays a military, I think it was Navy. He's moved on the Space Force, and now he's in charge of Space Force, and getting people out the moon and getting people onto the moon, right?
So I feel that they are in their way taking shots at like the military with that show.
They are. No, yeah, they for sure they are. I mean, it's blatant in lots of places.
I think there's a lot of people in the country who want to all but say that they have no respect for the military whatsoever. They think that, like, I'm hearing more and more people say just, like, very almost casually like American imperialism. Like it was, like it's definitely a thing. Like we definitely set out to be some sort of empire a la Rome. And I think they see squarely the military and really anybody in it as an extension of that. Like there's no real sense of like they did service with anything for the country.
I can understand that sentiment back in 2004, 2005, right? But the military has really gone out of its way to reshape itself. The Navy, the Navy's always done a lot of good in the world, but they've really done a lot of setting up schools and putting housing up,
I think all the branches have done, maybe not the Air Force, but I mean like Army as well.
Sure. The Army as well. Yeah. I mean, they've done a lot of, I think they've redefined themselves enough that word should have gotten out by now that, they're not out to, really we're not out to be the police of the world. I mean, say what you want about Donald Trump. He didn't start any wars. While he was in office, he didn't, he was very resilient about using, troops to do anything, use drone strikes, right? Didn't want to go after, people that caused us harm a lot all the time. Petty people, right?
He went after Soleimani, who was a pretty high profile guy out of Iran.
sure he did.
Not a social worker, right?
No.
His job wasn't to be nice to people.
Well, no, but I mean.
Soleimani, that is. I'm saying like that, there's reasons why he was killed.
Yes. Good reasons. Right. But, sure. I'm just saying that I don't think that would, the Republicans could have been seen as hawkish under Donald Trump, is what I'm saying,
Yeah, no, he definitely was. Well, the shot against him suddenly, I think it put a lot of Democrats in kind of a conundrum because he intensified a lot of, I don't know how to put it. Like he was kind of anti-NATO. He certainly was putting pressure on them, for funding. He was talking about withholding funding for NATO. And then some people perceived that to be that he was anti-NATO rather than just tough on NATO. and they would be that way if it wasn't for him. But now that he was in that, they were like rethinking, maybe they like NATO.
Right. Right.
Whereas like Bernie Sanders absolutely talks about closing down bases in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know is Bernie Sanders is still in the Senate, right?
God, yeah.
Yeah. What's his take on Russia? Like what's he saying? What should we do? What's his take on like,
I don't know what it is. I know that didn't he get married in Russia? I think he got married in Russia. So he was a big fan for quite some time of Russia. So I don't know what he's saying today.
Well, he's calling Putin an autocrat, and so he's kind of doing kind of what he's always done. It's like it's always the rich people doing this, and he's like implying that it's Putin and the oligarchs, and an oligarch actually spoke out. And I actually probably think this guy is probably correct. That, the perception is the oligarchs hold some sort of sway over Putin. I think it is vice versa. They can make money because he says so. If they step out of line, I think he can have them taken care of. And by taken care of, I mean killed.
Right.
I mean, he has ordered assassinations in the past. I don't think that's anything any billionaire usually talks about. So, I think he's got a pretty firm, grasp and control in that country.
So I don't know that Bernie Sanders is on the right side of what's going on right now.
Yeah, Putin just wants to invest in green energy and wants to do financial stuff. So I don't think he wants to do any sort of like military action against. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that want to do military action. I think a lot of people, I mean, both on the right and left, are very hesitant in getting to a world war.
Oh, sure.
You see, of a lot of people, and it's what's funny is I think both sides are accusing the other side of trying to get into a world war. I don't think anybody wants to get in the world war. Like Tucker Carlson, I think, throws that out, that this is some sort of game plan of Biden. I don't think it's a game plan of Biden. Biden very much wants this to be over. It is very disruptive of his game plan right now.
Oh yeah.
I think Putin is well aware of that.
Oh yeah. I didn't hear Tucker Carlson say that he wants this. But, I mean, I haven't really listened to him lately, so I don't know.
Yeah, I've listened to some clips. He talked about, like, it's inevitable shooting. Well, I don't think it's inevitable. I still think there's a very good chance that if Putin gets Zelensky on the ropes, that they just try to contain it. At a certain point, they're not going to go in. They're going to let. I think this was my fear. It's just going to happen on a slower time frame. I mean, we're all, oh, yeah, Ukraine. That can only last for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or later, the side that has the most artillery wins.
Yeah, you're saying that the sun's gonna bleach out the blue and yellow flags on everybody's doorstep, you know,
yeah.
before the war's over, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe I'm just a pessimist. No, I hope I am. I hope that's it. But I fear for a long haul, that's just going to favor Russia. And he's going to get what he wants. The world's going to want gas prices to come back down, and they want things to go back to normal. And for the most part, they won't care what happens in Ukraine because they didn't know who Zelensky was 6 months ago. They won't know who he is 6 months from now. He was like on TV, and we felt bad for him.
He didn't even act with a monkey.
Right. Didn't even act with a monkey. He's a bellhop in the series. Is that what he was? Is he a waiter or something?
That time for Bonzo?
No, Zelensky.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
He was an actor. He was on TV.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he wasn't an actor? He was like a...
Yeah, he's a comedic actor.
Yeah. I know, yeah. No, I never saw anything he was in, obviously.
No, I might have to go see it and just say, oh, he used to be the president of the veteran Ukraine. I still have the most dire of outlook for Ukraine.
Well, they're outmanned, outfinanced.
And just the civilian casualties that they're willing to, that Russia's willing to inflict are just so tremendous.
Right. The aggressor sets the standard, and the aggressor has more tools and more time, yeah, more money, and more everything. So
yeah,
buy a lot. Not even
right.
Yeah. So it was a little surprising. I mean, there has to be some dissension in Putin's ranks, though, because
I'm sure there is, and maybe that can undo it. Maybe that can walk it back. I hope there's sufficient dissension. I think there's a story the Ukraine is putting out there that they have intel that the inner circle around Putin is trying to kill him. I think it's not true because they released that information.
Oh, you don't think there's swaths of people trying to kill him?
Not in his inner circle, no.
Yeah.
I think if there were, they'd be like,
Yeah.
I think someone's trying to kill you.
Right.
I don't think they'd announce it very loudly.
And I think that, and those someone's people might. Kill Putin. I think those people would be dead by now, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So. I even know how you bring it up. I mean, it would take someone like suicidally committed. And really, even with Hitler, no one was suicidally committed. The guy that tried to do it for Valkyrie placed the bomb in the room but had to leave. He wasn't even committed enough to walk in and say, hi, boom. and figure mm-hmm. that, you know, I'll sort it out with whoever's on the other side. Like, can't believe you committed suicide. Well, I can't believe that you let that guy live. So let's call it even.
Right.
I feel I could look at God straight in the eyes and say, I killed that guy and I killed myself with it, with him. What are you going to do? Maybe that would be a haughty response, but, he would have to go. Same with Putin. I think, threatening the world with nuclear Armageddon is reason to be taken out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me.
I mean, he didn't outright say it.
But he implied it.
He did.
He very strongly implied that there would be a nuclear response if there was any sort of military action, which is well beyond any sort of rational response to defense for a country you're invading. So to say that someone defending Ukraine merits him doing a ICBM is insane.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's so not of the same scale.
Right. You defended yourself after we attacked you. After we went to war with you.
You helped somebody. No, or even you helped somebody who we were attacking.
Oh, yes, yes.
Therefore, we have to shoot an ICBM at you. That's the same as you trying to existentially threaten our entire country. So we're going to nuke the world. That's just nuts. Very depressing. Sad thing to go on the show. We had so many happy things we were talking about.
We did. And let's remember those happy times. And as we say, as we bid adieu for another Tuesday evening night.
Two-year anniversary? Is it two-year anniversary this week? Or is it?
No, it was the past couple weeks. We were here. Past couple weeks. So, yeah.
Still here, still at Revolution Radio, and again, you can make any sort of donation you like at revolution.radio/donations.html, patreon.com/revolutionradio, donorbox.org/revolution-radio, or zazzle.com/stores/revradio, which has all of our merchandise. Feel free to donate with any means you can. Any means was greatly appreciated. We're all listener supported and greatly thank you for your kind donations.
Tell them Aaron and Ed sent you, and they'll surely say, who?
Who? Oh, those guys.
Oh, yeah, the Revolution Radio guys. We love them.
Anyway, on that note, I think we can bid adieu. Say goodnight to everyone who was nice enough to listen to us tonight. I hope to see you next week. Remember, be nice to your... to your significant others and loved ones, tip your waiters, and don't invade any countries that don't want you there.
That words to live by. Thank you very much. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time across the dimension.